This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Amal Shaw, the big guy. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to bring in Max Starks, of course, 10-year NFL career, two-time Super Bowl champ, Florida legend. I'm going to embarrass him a little bit because he's literally one of the freaking nicest guys. He's the GOAT when it comes to good dudes in the industry. ESPN Radio, Westwood One, Steelers radio analyst, at MaxStark78 on Twitter. What's cracking, Max? Nice to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too, Pat. I mean, you know, we had an annual thing and then it got changed a little bit. So I'm happy we're back together again.
I'm happy we're back together, too. I know my partner wants to go at you on Florida. Let me ask you about Miami, North Carolina. You were on the call this past weekend. That was kind of a tale of two halves, right? Like, Miami fell apart in the second half. Or do you believe North Carolina is legit?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think both can be true at the same time. You know, Miami just had a solid game plan. The defense was just getting after Drake May. I mean, they were providing pressure. He did not look crisp. But Omarion Hampton was just a steadying force for North Carolina throughout that game. And then, you hate to say it, Miami became Miami again. You know, the sins of last week carried over into the next week. And, you know, the turnovers just really, really hurt to start out that second half. They defer, they get the ball, but then you turn the ball over immediately on that first drive. You throw an interception, you punt, then you have another, then you have a fumble. I mean, it was just bad third quarter management and play, and that was enough to give an offbeat North Carolina team enough to get back into it. I think it proved that North Carolina is a good team, even when they don't have 70-plus percentage completion from Drake May, and he's not throwing the ball all over the place. Even though Tez Walker had three touchdowns in that game, they're just a good, solid team that knows how to play great team defense, and they play good team offense.
Max, I want to ask you about your alma mater and Billy Napier. Was this win against South Carolina his best win during his tenure so far in Gainesville? And how much could that victory potentially propel this team and Graham Mertz, who played exceptionally well?
I think the best win came earlier this year against Tennessee, just because of where Tennessee was rank-wise, where they were in the national media and the public eye. This was definitely the second best win to go up against a very efficient Shane Beamer, Spencer Rattler-led squad in South Carolina that gave Georgia fits. I thought this was the second best win of his career in 2 years, but the first one was definitely Tennessee by far. But I will say it was the best performance by Graham Mertz this season.
How's Napier been with alumni? I'm just curious. What's the vibe on Napier?
You know, I like Billy. I like him. I met him last year in August. We had a preseason game down in Jacksonville when I was with the Steelers, and I actually drove down to Gainesville afterwards to speak to the team. And so I got to meet Billy. And I really like Coach Napier. I think he's a great guy. He has a great mentality. And I think he's great for University of Florida as far as a coach and what his culture that he's bringing in. It also doesn't hurt that I have like three of my buddies on the coaching staff. My teammate Darnell Stapleton, who was my right guard when we won Super Bowl 43. He's one of the offensive line coaches. Cheston Blackshear's offensive analyst. Mike Peterson is the linebackers coach. So I came in seeing the type of caliber of guys that he brought in on his coaching staff. Let me know all I needed to know about him from a personnel and philosophy standpoint, and then meeting him just further solidified that.
Max, I want to ask you a question. As a former player, we talk a lot about potential bad spots for teams. Patrick brought up a pretty good one. Last weekend, Oregon loses a hard-fought game against Washington on the road. Now they come back. They're a three-touchdown favorite against Washington State. As a player, are there certain games where you just mentally, it's a little bit more challenging to get up for simply because of an emotional defeat or an emotional victory and now have to turn around 7 days later and play a team that's maybe not at the same caliber with the same hype around it?
Yeah, no, it's a little tough just because you're still dwelling on the past of what could have been, and especially as hard fought as that game was for Oregon and Washington, a tremendous game that came down really to the end, which is what you want in a quality competition. You want to see guys live up to the hype and the expectation that you put into it by watching film and then going out there and doing battle. It is a little bit tough to get back up when you've expended so much energy the week before. But I think with this Oregon squad, you know, and I have to give them all the credit in the world, they're just a mentally tough team. I don't think there will be a huge letdown against Washington State. I think it'll be, I now want to get back to getting a second opportunity to go up against Washington. That means running the table on the rest of the schedule so that I can get a chance in the Pac-12 championship game.
Max Starks joining us, of course, ESPN, Westwood One, Steelers, great. So we just talked about Penix Jr. Bo Nix was in that game, Caleb Williams, and you just saw Drake May. Maybe a thought on all four quarterbacks, Max, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, right now, the attention, and rightfully so, Michael Penix Jr. is the leader of that group right now. I think, you know, it was tough to see, you know, a human Caleb Williams, I think is the best way to put it, because I think we've kind of thought of him as superhuman all this time since he's been at USC. To see him as a mere mortal was crazy, and I think it's going to be tough for him. And then now, next thing you do, you go up against Utah, right? So not only do you take your worst beating of your career in college, but then you go and you face a very tough, physical, hard-nosed, highly disciplined squad to try and wash that taste out of your mouth, and you might get a double dose potentially. You know, we'll see how Utah shapes up during the week with the injury reports and everything. But it's a tough thing. So, I mean, Caleb Williams takes a step back. Drake May, like you said, I mean, it was his best performance. In fact, he finished just a hair above 50%. He's been a 70% plus completion type of guy with high scoring standards. But at the same time, it was a solid team win. They fought through the adversity, and they're still undefeated. So I got to put Drake a little bit above Caleb in that, because when you win a Heisman, you have to go above and beyond after that to secure back-to-back Heismans. And right now, he seems to be third in that conversation.
Guys, if I may throw another name into the mix, and Max, you saw him play in person, Jaden Daniels at LSU. I can tell you right now, most people would have been happy to let him leave Tempe when he did. And the resurgence he's had down in the Bayou has been sensational. What's your assessment of him so far this year?
No one player means more to their team than Jaden Daniels means to the LSU Tigers. I think that's the best way of putting it. He is the heartbeat of LSU. The defense is not up to snuff. It's not where it should be. It's not where it has been in years past. DBU is more like DB who down there. And, you know, yes, you have some great guys. Whit Weeks is a great freshman linebacker that came in and really has solidified that position and kind of overstepped Omar Spates, who was that portal transfer kid to come in and supposed to solidify linebacker. Harold Perkins Jr., still effective, but they know how to double-team him now, so he can't get quite the same effect that he had a year ago. Jaden Daniels is always on, always ready, always willing to rush the football, and is always willing to make a connection with Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. He is definitely one of the guys that should be in the Heisman conversation because of single-handedly how much he means to that squad.
Speaking of defense, Max, you were at the 49ers-Browns matchup this past weekend. Kind of not necessarily ideal weather, but Brock Purdy kind of looked mortal. He had been performing so well. But how about that Browns defense? Schwartz is doing a hell of a job with that defense.
Listen, Schwartz, there's a reason why that defense is leading the NFL in total defense. They're the number one total defense in the NFL, and it was on full display. It was physical. It was constant. There was pressure. Even for the great Trent Williams, Trent Williams had his hands full with Myles Garrett. And, you know, Za'Darius Smith was coming off the edge, just moving Brock Purdy just enough to make him just feel uneasy. And then, of course, Dalvin Tomlinson in the middle did a great job of really providing interior pressure. I mean, they really got after Aaron Banks and company in the middle of that San Fran offensive line. And, I mean, I haven't seen people contain Christian McCaffrey, and I saw containment of Christian McCaffrey. And then you also saw Deebo Samuel left the game early, and then it was a lot on Brandon Ayuk to come in and try and make some plays. And Denzel Ward and company, they really did a great job of just smothering whatever San Fran was trying to do. And then, of course, in the end, you know, offensively, your third-string quarterback, I mean, that's a common theme in Cleveland if you're used to rotating carousels of quarterbacks. But the fact that P.J. Walker came in and was able to do enough to secure that victory was just a testament to how great that defense is. Defense won that game, and also 25 accepted penalties really slowed that game down really, really quickly.
Max, we got about a minute left. We were talking the other day about some of these coaches in the NFL seeming like there's just such curmudgeons, where now all of a sudden you've got Mike McDaniel down in Miami. Personality, disposition seems completely different. Is that something that players tend to buy into a little bit more, just the way his disposition is? You played for a great head coach in Mike Tomlin. It just seems like he's a little bit more of a player's coach, even though he can be tough. It just seems like players know how to respond to what they're leading with.
Yeah, I think it depends on the personnel, right? It depends on the guy. You know, younger, newer players in this league, they respond better to what, you know, Mike McDaniels offers. And I think, you know, as a personnel, as a scouting department, you draft what the personality of your team is. And you draft guys who you feel will fit your culture and accept it. So I think for the Dolphins, that works for them. I don't know if Mike McDaniels works in Pittsburgh and the people that they draft. Mike Tomlin looks for a specific type of player and a certain type of toughness, but there's transparency in it as well. And I think a lot of guys, especially from my era, you appreciate the transparency from your head coach. Like, I don't need you to be my best friend, but I also need you to be able to understand my communication style. And I think that's what Mike Tomlin does well is he understands how to talk to his players. He understands how to relate to his players, but he's never going to come down to the level of his players. I think that's the other thing. He holds a certain standard of himself, his staff, and players meet those expectations. But once they're at that level, then it becomes a more commonality and a more friendly environment. So I think it's just really about what you're looking for as a staff and as an organization on how you want your team to be. If you want those looser players, Mike McDaniels is a guy.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out the picks, the VSIN picks at a glance. Every day we email you the picks, easily sortable. You can follow the host and guest, top VSIN expert leaderboard, introductory offer, $19 right now, VSIN.com/subscribe. The big guy said that he's ice cold right now, but don't worry. That's how he runs. He runs in very dramatic ways. One way or the other, he's about to get hot. So make sure you check out the picks, Maul's picks, everybody's picks. They're all there. VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here, Sharp Money. I'm Maul Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. As we welcome you back, a couple of things before we get to the first ever Sharp Money Power Rankings as far as the 32 NFL teams. Little snake draft coming up. We'll go worst to first. Should be interesting. Two pieces of information that I need to pass along. One, Mecole Hardman has been traded from the Jets back to the Kansas City Chiefs. So the Kansas City Chiefs now have 333 wide receivers they're throwing to, and all are very basic. But Mecole Hardman, you saw it last week, I think it was, Dustin, you passed along the tweet where he was talking about the Jets, and he was like, I got stories to tell, and when I get the hell out of here, I'll be able to tell them. That's basically what the wide receiver was saying.
Yeah, and just wasn't really being used there. Didn't really fit, didn't mesh there in New York, and now he's going to go back to Patrick Mahomes. And this is a guy who gets hurt a lot, though, right? He's not on the field a ton. He's a burner, got a ton of speed, but maybe the production in his career hasn't always matched what the skill set is.
Yeah, I think he got hurt all the way back to Georgia. Yeah. Think about it. Even in college, he had injury concerns. And the second piece of news before the power rankings, it looks like Anthony Richardson has been officially shut down. So it's Gardner Minshew the rest of the way, boys. As it was announced earlier today, Anthony Richardson officially going to be done for the rest of the year, opting for surgery. Another piece of information, Julio Jones has been signed. It was yesterday, day late, dollar short. However, Julio Jones has signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles are going to be near the top of our power rankings, but that's the reason I kind of thought of the idea to do this. Generally, we don't do this type of shtick, but let's do it. Let's have some fun with it, because are any of these 32 teams any good? We thought the 49ers, but they went on the road and they got beat by the Browns and PJ Walker. We thought the Eagles and then Jalen Hurts, who maybe you have to whisper it because he's such a good dude, but he's starting to look pretty basic. If we're being honest, that pick late was disgusting. Three picks overall to the Jets. So no longer undefeated those two. And again, you saw the Chargers. You can eliminate the Chargers from any conversation as far as the Super Bowl. They stink. That game on Monday night was disastrous. The Cowboys all of a sudden back in the mix. The Detroit Lions are being discussed by many as the best team in football. That's what you need to know. That's right there. Well, it's full stop. Many have the Detroit Lions as their best team in the NFL right now. That's 2023 in this league. Okay? So let's do this. I said it's a snake draft, so we're going to go worst to first. Big guy, ready?
Yep.
Get your hands ready.
I'm
Show
ready.
Your hands to the camera. Ready? Paper, rock, scissor to figure out you or me, and then I go to them all. Ready? Paper, rock, scissor. Ready?
Yep.
One.
Two. Three.
Two.
Yep.
Three. Shoot.
Same.
Okay, ready? One, two, three, shoot.
Both with scissors.
Okay, ready?
Again.
One, two, three, shoot. Donk. Ready? One, two, three, shoot.
Damn it.
I got you. Amal, ready?
I'm just going to defer to the second half.
Okay. No shocker. Amal wasn't interested in playing along. Okay. That's the story of this show, I assure you. Let's go, boys. Okay. I am last up, so I'll draft here. The worst team in football right now. Amal, you'll go next, and then, of course, Dustin Sweetelson. The worst team in football. And this is our rankings, just by our gut. I think the worst team in football right now, and I don't really think it's close, and it has nothing to do with tanking. I just think on an even playing field, I think the Broncos, officially a disaster. Wilson is toast. He's done. It's not necessarily just the fact that Peyton wants Caleb Williams. Defensively, the team's a disaster. They're giving up, what, 33, 34 points a game. Offensively, they can't do anything. Special teams, a mess as well. I've got the Broncos as the worst team in football right now, boys.
I like that call a lot. That was actually going to be my original selection. I'm going to go with the New England Patriots at the 31st spot.
Yeah, I would have went Patriots as the worst, but I can't argue with the Broncos. It's disgusting. It's gross. I think I'm supposed to take...
Quickly on the Patriots. Quickly on the patch, just as we kind of lay this out a little bit. The Patriots this week, I was just taking a look. So the Patriots, who do they have this week?
They're playing Buffalo.
Oh, that's right. They're playing Buffalo in the 1 o'clock. Well, that's gross. 1 o'clock window, low total, 41. Buffalo laying 8-9, all the way up to 9 at Circa. Yeah, I would have been fine with them being 32 as well, the Patriots. Okay, big guy, you're up.
Debating between two here, but I think I have to go with how they are right now, and I think this team could be better than this at the end of the year. But right now, they're really bad, and that's the Panthers.
The Panthers, going to be a long season. You saw Frank Reich, who just gave up the play-calling duties, which is, that's kind of like firing the hitting coach.
You know, it's also like, it's like the, it's like when a couple's like, hey, we're going to go to marriage counseling. You know divorce is inevitable. It's like the first step of like three or four different steps before it's over.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I'm going to throw a curveball here because why not? We're towards the bottom. I'm just looking at the worst team right now as currently constructed. I'm going to put the Titans next. And here's why. One, they're going to trade. It looks like they're just news coming out that looks like they're open to trading Derrick Henry. If you watched them in London, just special teams is at like they couldn't do anything. They were getting picked apart by Lamar and crew. And without Tannehill, I mean, Malik Willis legitimately could be the worst quarterback to ever play in the league. Like, he has no pocket presence, no feel. He has no clue what he's doing. And then if he doesn't play, Will Levis, who couldn't succeed at Kentucky. I'll go and put the Titans just for fun. Not necessarily for fun. I think they're legitimately bad this year. So I'll put the Titans next.
Real quick, to your point about Malik Willis, think about this. They played Josh Dobbs off the street in a game that would determine who goes to the playoffs. And they chose him over Malik Willis. That's all you
Correct.
Need to know about Willis.
This team looks awful because they don't have Ryan Tannehill. And Ryan Tannehill is probably one of the worst seven starting quarterbacks in the league right now.
I'll just say, I don't think Tannehill is as bad as people say. But I know
he's got nothing left.
He's not great.
I've always been a Tannehill guy. I think this year he looks like there's nothing in that arm.
He's toast. He's 35 years old. I agree.
I couldn't stand it for a long time. Next team I'm going to go with is the Chicago Bears. And the reason I didn't pick Arizona is because they get Kyler Murray back, and I think Murray's better than Daniel Jones, better than Justin Fields. I think the Bears right now still have a lot of issues. So I'll go with the Chicago Bears behind your Tennessee Titans, or just in front.
All right.
Well, I'm actually not going to go Cardinals. I think this team is worse than the Cardinals because I don't think they play very hard, and that's the Raiders.
They've won two straight.
I was shocked when I saw the Raiders were 3-3.
I think they stink. Like, they're borderline unwatchable. And now with Jimmy G dealing with a concussion, and like, this could tailspin. Absolutely tailspin.
And just to add to Dustin's point on the Raiders, two of the wins have come against our 31 and 32nd team, the Patriots and the Broncos.
Okay. That's true.
There are teams. I'm trying to think of these two. I've got two teams in my mind, so I'm thinking about them on a neutral. All right, fine. I'll go Cardinals. Look, they're 1-5. They play hard for that weirdo in Gannon. But they've actually been very competitive. You've mentioned Dobbs. Defensively, better than I thought they were going to be. And it's just the idea of Gannon and the way that he talked and kind of the way that he came across in the videos they were posting on social. I didn't think his team was going to be this galvanized, and they certainly are. They've competed in every game, so I'll put the Cardinals up here.
Buda Baker and Kyler coming back.
Yeah. And I'll take the team. I'll take the team in front of them that beat them, the New York Giants. This Giants team, guys, in five of their six games have scored a combined 40 points minus the Cardinals game where they scored 31. They've scored 71 points on the season in six football games.
Not great. Not great. Okay, so the Giants are where on our list, big guy?
25.
This is the first ever. Giants are the playoff team from last year. Playoff team from last year is 25, and the sharp money power rankings snake as we go 32-1. Who's 24, big guy?
Well, they just lost their quarterback, so it's only going to get uglier. I'm going to go with the Colts.
Ooh. Put the Colts in there. Yep. Okay. Gardner Minshew. I thought that was your boy.
Yeah, but at 24, we might have they might be a little bit too high right now.
And he was terrible against the Jags, which doesn't bode well because – we talked about off the top, Anthony Richardson, the rookie, done for the year.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew is a classic backup quarterback that when he doesn't play, you convince yourself that you can win with him, and then he plays and you realize you can't.
Okay, congratulations to the Colts. You're 24th in the first ever Sharp Money Power Rankings. We finish up the list next here. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, little break to talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're debating in our power rankings who's the best team, who's number one in the NFL. Well, Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. They're number one. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store, online at Zyn.com, so convenience store or online at ZYN.com. As a warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Power rankings here, Sharp Money. I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We've got plays coming up. College football tonight, of course. Game 3, the Rangers, a 2-0 series lead in Arlington. Javier Scherzer will have those plays on the way. But quickly, let's go 32. I think we're up to 24, big guy. Who'd we start with at the bottom here?
The Broncos were team 32, the Patriots 31, Panthers 30, Titans 29, Bears 28, Raiders 27, Cardinals 26, Giants 25, and we left off with the Colts at number 24.
Okay, number 23, this is not going to go well at the Samich household.
I knew this was coming.
And it makes me feel so good to say it. Many thought the Packers were going to win the North, and I've got them as the 23rd. Ranked team in all of football. They're coming off a bye. A lot of guys are starting to get healthy, but they're still pretty bad. I'm going to put the Packers there at 23, boys.
Well, in fairness, everyone was right because the analysis across the board was they have all the pieces, and if Jordan Love is just decent, they'll be a good team. The problem is Jordan Love's not decent.
The problem is I think we can say that about six teams. And the next team I'm going to mention, maybe there's weeks where you think you can utilize the quarterback and other times you can't. The Washington Commanders.
Road win against the Falcons. Defense hasn't been good, though.
They benefited getting to play Desmond Ridder.
That's fair. So 22 for the Washington Commanders on our power rankings. Big guy, you're next.
All right, this next team, they're not good, but they have a great head coach, and they have a good defense. But you can't trust them week in and week out, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, they're not very good. They got two dudes on defense and a head coach that keep them in every game.
Their two pass rushers are like their fourth best offensive players.
You talking about Watt and Hayward?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Minka.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Okay. Next up.
Number 20.
You know what? Same division. I'm going to have to run it back on the North. The Vikings. Barely snuck out a win in Chicago. They're going to start selling off parts. Cousins could potentially be on the move. They take on the 49ers this week. They're 2-4. They're going to be 2-5 against a pissed off 49er team. So I'll put the 49ers in there next.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh.
You know, I look at Atlanta, they're kind of comparable, but they've got a lot of talent around Ridder. To me, when I look at this Buccaneers team, they've got some great defensive individual pieces. But other than that, I just don't think there's a ton of things that you can really look forward to with them.
I'll mention the other. I would have the Bucs above the Falcons, but I might be splitting hairs there. I think the Falcons stink because they don't have a quarterback. But I do agree. They have everything else. They're a brutal team. And until they make a change at quarterback, I can't imagine betting on them the rest of the season.
And what number is that?
That is the number Falcons? 18.
Okay, number 17, the Saints stink.
Yep.
The Saints are supposed to be good. I'm sorry, they're just not. Not a good look. Losing to the Texans. The offense, not good. Just couldn't score enough against the Texans defense. The Texans team that we thought was going to be already on this list, and we haven't seen them yet.
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans next. I think as well as Stroud has played, he's still a young quarterback. I think this team has played a little bit better than they really are. Still have some concerns about the Texans.
Yeah, I think that's about the right spot for them. But I do think this is – if we would have said this beginning of the year, power rankings, we'd have the Texans at the bottom three or four.
You set the number at 29.5, you would have said under.
Yeah, exactly. I had the Texans right around 31 or 32.
Yeah. So, all right, this next team, we probably at the beginning of the season would have them one or two or three or four, but somewhere in that top five. And I know they've reeled off back-to-back wins, but number 15 for me is the Jets.
J-E-T. Jets defense came up big in that Eagles win, but they're 3-3. It's impressive after losing Rodgers. I think it feels right. Where'd you put them? What number?
15.
I thought he was going to say the Bengals there.
No.
We got to keep the Bengals high. Next up, and I think it's impressive. I think the Rams at 3-3.
Yeah.
McVay's done a hell of a job. You know, they've been in every game that they lost. They lost against three good teams. Like, the Rams are pretty impressive. I don't think that's too low. I might be a little low on the Rams, but we'll put them there. What is it, 14 there or 15, big guy?
That would be 14 for the Rams.
I think you have the Rams slotted perfectly. I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars next.
Oh, that's a little low.
According to you.
Oh.
4-2, 1-3 straight. Sit atop the AFC South, but... You know, it's not a great division, to be fair. Trevor Lawrence, concerning?
Absolutely, and two wins against the Colts. Buffalo in a decent spot. Remember, they were in London an extra week. I thought that benefited them.
Okay. Mm. Next up, big guy, you're up. What number?
This will be number 12, and it's a debate between two. I'm going to take the team with the worst coach. The Chargers are number 12.
Oh, I forgot about them.
They're just.
Maybe the Chargers. You know what? I screwed up. The Chargers should have been below.
The Rams?
The Rams.
Yeah. Hey, it's our list. We could do whatever we want with it.
Yeah.
We're just going to bump them down to below the Rams, and everyone else goes up.
Perfect.
Yeah, Chargers, good one. They're done. They're toast. Next up, the Seahawks. Lose so many scoring chances. Couldn't score in the red zone in Cincinnati. Should have won that football game. They're 3-2. You can't win that way. The defense... played well in the second half, but I'll put the Seahawks there.
That makes them 10.
Okay.
I will go nine through one. I will go with the Browns at number nine here. No Nick Chubb downgrades this team. Guys, if this team is fully healthy, Nick Chubb, Deshaun Watson look like he did in week three, I think this would be a top five football team.
Okay.
All right. I was redoing the list. I didn't give this much thought, so we're just going to go first one that comes to mind here that we haven't said yet, making sure I didn't miss anyone. The Buffalo Bills.
I was going to say the Bills. Buffalo, good one.
Like they're
we were all on the same one right there. Yeah.
there's a line of separation of a lot of these teams, and the Bills, unfortunately, over the last few weeks, have fallen to the other side of teams that I don't think are capable of winning the Super Bowl this year.
I agree.
Okay. Power rankings. The Bills are what number, big guy?
Eight.
Okay. So the seventh best team in football right now, October 18th, as per Sharp Money, Ravens. Held on against the Titans in London. They haven't clicked. I think they're going to end up rising on this list. I would say that at 4-2, but I think it's a fair slot right now for the Ravens.
I kind of have it transposed. I thought you were going to say the team I'm going to select, which is the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys are what number?
Six.
Okay. Wasn't pretty. A lot of mistakes, but they got it done in Los Angeles on Monday night. Big guy.
All right. I'm going to put our team here, though. I'm going to put the Bengals at five.
None of us wanted to put the Bengals in.
No, I forgot them, to be honest with you.
I'm going to put the – it's a little high.
It's a little home cooking.
For being fair, it's a little – it's probably about five too high or four too high.
As they say at the bar, that's a nice pour.
It's our list. Yeah, it's a $1,000 free roll. They're probably about 12 spots too high, for being fair. But according to us, the Bengals are the fifth best team. This is the worst list of all time.
It is, yes.
So they're five?
They're five.
Next up, number four, the Eagles.
Except
they stink.
I'm pretty sure I have more.
No, you're wrong, because we've got at least five teams remaining, and the Bengals should be at least six.
Yeah.
The Ravens were eight, the Cowboys were seven, and the Bengals were six.
The Bengals are six. Number five is the Eagles. Offense stinks.
Yep.
Sorry.
Eagles, yeah.
That's it. I mean, the defense is fine, but they like hurts. Something's up.
Number four, I'll go with Miami. Sorry.
Oh, really?
What?
I will go...
There's a point of demarcation with these three other teams.
We'll go Chiefs.
Chiefs stink. This list stinks. All these teams stink. Because seriously, do you think the Chiefs are any good?
No, I don't.
They're fine.
They're three. That's why they're three for me, because I think the next two teams can beat them. In fact, one of them did.
You know what this shows me? Because Lions are two. Went on the road, beat Tampa Bay, whatever. Yeah. What this list, and Amal, you got the 49ers at one.
Yep.
What this list shows me is our 40-1 bet on the Bengals, who, according to us, are the fifth best team in football. Like, it's great, because when you just said the Chiefs are the third best, and I understand, trust me, I get it. They've won Super Bowls, plural. They've got Patrick Mahomes. If they were to play the Lions right now, neutral, are you like, oh my gosh, it's the Chiefs? No.
They couldn't beat the Lions week one at home.
Guys, to your point, though.
Yeah, the good point.
Four games have come down to the wire. Vikings, Jets, Jaguars. Now, Broncos game isn't a wire game, but I mean, three of the games have been right there at the end.
Yep. There it is. That is quite a list. The Bengals. How about the Bengals? Number five, and deservedly so. We're back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings, bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you sign up using the promo code for new users. The code is SHARP, and also a no-sweat same-game parlay every day over at DraftKings. Again, use that code SHARP, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Dustin Sweetison, Amal Shaw, and Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money as we welcome you back. Final segment of the day. Before we get out of here, let's get some plays in here, boys. You've got, of course, ALCS with Javier and Scherzer. Game 3, Arlington tonight. We'll save that. Let's go to the college football as you've got two tonight, and it's not necessarily an exciting slate, but it's a slate you can bet nonetheless. Florida International, Sam Houston State. Sam Houston State's winless, yet they're laying five and a half at home hosting FIU. 41.5 is the total. That is a low total, and for good reason. These are two hideous offenses. I think we're being fair by saying that. Strength of schedule wise, Sam Houston State will go Amal after me here. They've actually played a pretty good schedule and played well. I mean, a 21-16 loss on the road at Liberty. Liberty is undefeated. A 35-28 loss to Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State's a pretty good football team. And Air Force is undefeated, and they lost 13-3. So they've kind of hung around in games. Again, you're not going to bet this if you've got other games on the board to bet. But 42 is the total. I'll probably go under. I'll say under just as a lean. I wouldn't officially play it, but that's my play. Under 42, FIU, Sam Houston State, Amal.
Yeah, Patrick, I see this total getting up to 42.5 as well in some spots. And I'll tell you, I like the under 42.5. I mean, neither of these teams are offensive juggernauts. We talked about it earlier. Sam Houston State's averaging 11.2 points per game on the season. Guys, I'm looking at, I haven't played at either of the college games tonight. Going to be on the Astros plus 116 and probably play the reverse run line as well. We talked about it with Scherzer on the bump. I think it's just simply a fact that he hasn't pitched in several weeks. Good opportunity for the Houston Astros who are in a desperate situation. And then I'm going to take the Las Vegas Aces tonight in the WNBA Championship Game 4. They win it. This thing is over. They're plus 6 tonight against the New York Liberty. They've got a couple of key injuries, but I still like the Aces catching 6 against the Liberty.
Okay. Big guy, you got anything Florida? Sam Houston State, we were just talking quickly about that one. I don't know if you have a play on Florida International.
I'm laying the 5.5 because it's stupid and it makes no sense. They're a winless team and they're laying almost 6 points. They are at home, but Florida International can't throw the ball. Keon Jenkins is a guy who needs to use his legs. He's completing 58% of his passes this year. 133rd in QBR in the entire country right now. He's just not good enough. He's not going to be able to get it done on the road against Sam Houston State, which is a pretty good defense. And I think the offense has come alive as the competition has gotten easier. And I'm not impressed by Florida International's 2 wins over North Texas and a UConn team where they knocked out their quarterback in the middle of the game. Let's lay it with the Bearcats. And then in the other game, I'm going to take the home team and the points of UTEP. Cade McConnell's the fourth-string quarterback, but he didn't look like one last week when he came in against FIU. He can push the ball downfield. I think that also helps the UTEP defense because they're not on the field as much. And I think that gives them a chance to beat New Mexico State, who has gotten off to some slow starts on the road this season. So let's take the points in UTEP plus a field goal at home. And then finally, I am on Christian Javier plus 114 I got this morning. It's about $1.10 right now. I just think that when the postseason comes, certain guys step up, and Christian Javier is a guy who has a 1.91 career ERA and almost 38 innings pitched in the playoffs. I don't care that he's been bad on the road. I don't care that he's been bad at Globe Life Field. I do care that Houston got the best of Texas in the regular season 9-4 in their matchups. I think they have the pitching edge. I think they have the hitting edge against Scherzer. Amal mentioned is rusty coming into this. And by the way, Houston was better on the road during the year than they were at home. I'll take them not blinking in a big moment, having been there, done that before against the Rangers.
All right, the Rangers, again, you guys are fading a team that hasn't lost in the postseason. They've outscored the Rays, the Orioles, now Houston, 39-16. Again, 6 of those wins, 6 of their 7 so far have come on the road. They've been mashing. I'll just go somewhere else because you guys are both going Astros with Javier. Again, Javier, his worst start of the year, 4 1/3, 8 runs, 9 hits against the Rangers. Gave up 2 bombs. That's important. Also, Scherzer, who's going to be on a pitch count here, and I don't love the Rangers' bullpen. I'll say this. You know, he gave up 7 runs to the Astros just before he went on the IR. He's been out for a month on the shelf. I'll go over the 9. There's 9, 9.5s on the board right now. I don't trust Javier. I don't trust Scherzer in this spot. I think you see 2 bullpens. The bullpen, the reason I like both of your bet there as far as Houston, because if we go early to the bullpens, the Astros have a big-time advantage there. So the plus 116 on the Astros, I don't hate, but I'll go over the 9. Okay, next up, top 10, big guy.
Yeah, we have to wrap up a list from a week ago. We have kind of delayed it, and honestly, the buildup for me to unveil this has been big because it's one of the more passionate lists I've had. So we're doing my top 10 potato chips here. And things started with the sweet potato chips. I should
mention. We didn't finish out this list.
No, and I should mention that I have a rule for this. Should we re-go over this? The rule is.
Yes, of course.
One per brand. If not, half the list would be Pringles, if I'm being honest. So number nine is Kettle Brand Honey.
You know, they
Pizza.
Say once you pop, you can't stop, big guy.
Yeah, I have a body built by Pringles. Kettle Brand Honey Dijon came in at 9. The Ruffles Cheddar and Sour Cream is at 8. Lay's Ketchup, which is mostly found in Canada, is perfection at 7. The Hawaiian Mango Habaneros are money at 6. 5 brings us to Pringles Barbecue, which is just a perfect chip. They have the best barbecue seasoning, like regular barbecue, because there's a barbecue coming up later. It's a little different.
Pringles barbecue. You're right about, for some reason, it's kind of like when you get ranch dressing.
Yes.
At like a Chili's, a chain restaurant. I don't know why it tastes so much better than ranch dressing at home. And that's the same with that barbecue on those Pringles, big guy.
And not having the broken chips matters as well. Number 4, Wise Brand onion and garlic chips. They are amazing. They're also probably why women don't speak to me. Number 3. TGI Fridays, they have the cheddar and bacon potato skins chips. They're a little bit more firmer, a little thicker, like me. They're delectable.
And that is that what you call it? Is that what the ladies say when they match with you on Tinder? They say he's a little firm, he's a little thick.
I think they say it behind my back.
You should use that for your profile.
I should say, yeah, I'm a little firmer and I'm a little thicker, and I'm not talking about my weight.
No, please explain, Dustin. I don't understand what you mean.
All right, so the top 2 chips. Number 2, Utz Brand, Carolina Barbecue. And it was a revelation for me when I realized, I did the dissecting, the scientific experiment of these chips. It's just half barbecue, half salt and vinegar. But it's a great combination.
Utz is delicious. Carolina Barbecue. I don't know if you guys know the distinction and what makes barbecue Carolina, but I did live in South Carolina for years. So do you guys know what makes
there's two.
Actual barbecue sauce Carolina?
Yeah, I have no idea.
North Carolina is a vinegar base, so it's a little thinner of a barbecue sauce. And then in South Carolina, actually, it's a mustard-based sauce in a lot of places.
Yes, it's yellow. It's yellow and sweet and tangy.
by the way, that pitch was center for him.
Yeah, that's too easy. Utz Carolina Barbecue, delicious, big guy. What's number one? Because I see you're trolling us today.
No. I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You definitely are trolling us.
Go.
Because every list is a troll job. And number one on your Dustin's potato chips, troll.
Go to the gas station. The only place I've ever found these chips are at a gas station. I don't know a single song Lil Baby does. But I can tell you this. Lil Baby knows how to put together a potato chip. It is the best thing I've ever eaten. I have to get 2 bags at a time. I'm salivating talking about it. He basically took every flavor and put it into one potato chip. It is a combo of salt, vinegar, barbecue, onion, garlic, and more. They won't even give away all the secrets. Lil Baby should quit rap because he's the best at making potato chips. They are the freaking best things I've ever eaten. I can't stop. They're probably why I've gained 30 pounds in the last 6 months. Lil Baby potato chips are a 10 out of freaking 10.
I'll just say this, Patrick. On Amazon right now, out of 399 reviews, this thing got a 4.3 rating out of 5.
They're the
best
chips.
Bad.
They're the best.
I swear to you, I mean, I've heard of Lil Baby, the rapper. I don't know. I wouldn't know the song, obviously. But I just a question for you. You're at the gas station. You fill up your Kia. You go in. You're paying for. I don't know what you're doing inside the gas station, first off, because you just pay at the pump. But then, like, what motivates you? You see a bag of Lil Baby chips and like, why would you buy them?
It's a great question. Cause it's just like when I get in the mood where I'm
like eating, novelty.
No, I wanted to try them because I saw it was advertised right in the front, the combination on there. And I mentioned the number 2 chip used to be my number 1 chip, the Utz Carolina Barbecue. Well, this was that plus garlic, plus onion, plus other stuff. I was like, well, if I like those chips, I'm going to love these. And I was correct. Probably too correct.
Well done. Now, you are going to go to the gym today, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I made an appointment. I can't let this trainer down. I'm going to make his whole day.
That's the reason I bring it up is because you're drooling and salivating talking about chips. Don't go to the gas station. Go to the gym. Eric Kratz, thank you. Mike Palm, thank you. Max Starks, thank you. Boys, have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow here at Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.